What a great pleasure to come home to St. John's, to see familiar faces and some new faces too. Cooper and I feel so truly blessed to be a part of this remarkable and loving congregation. And we want to thank you for all the support that you have given us in the past several years. We do appreciate it. And it is indeed a privilege for me to be able to speak to you today. Please pray with me. O Lord, take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our hands and work through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire. Amen. I am so humble, so very, very humble, says Uriah Heep, one of the memorable characters created by Charles Dickens in his novel David Copperfield. Even as Uriah Heep proclaims his humility, he rubs together his clammy hands and proceeds with steely self-interest to cheat and blackmail his employer. He grovels, ingratiates, manipulates, so that he has become for us a caricature of false humility. We recognize this kind of hypocrisy intuitively, and we are wary of it. This obvious hypocrisy has, in a sense, given humility a bad name. If this is humility, count me out. While we can easily spot the false humility of a Uriah Heep, we still remain a bit leery of the whole concept of humility as a virtue for the Christian life. In modern terms, humility connotes self-abnegation, a desire to make ourselves small and insignificant, a denial of our true selves. Somehow this doesn't seem quite healthy, and so we dismiss humility as an antiquated virtue. Yet in our gospel today, Jesus tells his disciples to humble themselves. In this, his last discourse in Matthew, before Jesus goes to his death, he wants to make clear to his followers perhaps the most essential quality they will need to be his disciples. And he tells them to humble themselves. Now, clearly, Jesus is not advocating the false humility of the religious leaders of the day, who do deeds to be seen by others, who want the place of honor at banquets, who look to be greeted with respect in the marketplace. This false humility, this hypocrisy, is based in fear. It comes from being afraid to acknowledge that we are all dependent on God and that we are all connected to every other person. This hypocrisy based in fear is not the kind of humility Jesus is talking about. Genuine humility has nothing to do with performing deeds to be seen by others. Nor does it have to do with downcast eyes, self-abnegation, and stories of self-sacrifice. Genuine humility comes as a gift from God when we realize first that God loves us, cares about us, and in Christ has provided a way of salvation. Genuine humility is to understand that our lives are in God. When we truly understand what Christ has done for us on the cross, we fall on our knees and we say, "My Lord, and my God." Second, Humility comes as a gift from God when we realize that we are radically connected with others, that we are all in need of love, justice, compassion, and mercy, that we all belong to God. If we live in this realization, if we take it into our hearts, we are able to see others as God sees us, sisters and brothers, each one deeply valued and worthy of respect as every other. I am not better or worse than a person living on the street. I am not more deserving of respect or less deserving of respect than a person in prison. We are all equal in God's eyes. In humility, then, I can have compassion for my sisters and brothers. I can know them, feel with them, and be one with them in Christ. In humility, I am able to know others in the fullness of their humanity. Benedictine Joan Chittister explains humility like this. Humility is the ability to know ourselves as God knows us. Humility is the foundation of our relationship with God, our connectedness to others, our acceptance of ourselves, our ways of using the goods of the earth, and even our way of walking through the world without arrogance, without domination, without scorn, without put-downs, without disdain, without self-centeredness. Accepting this gift from God, this gift of humility, is not an act based in fear, but an act based in courage. Acknowledging this gift from God is an act that comes from our deepest self, an act of profound trust and truth. As we see ourselves loved by God and in relation to others, we are humbled, and in trust, we open ourselves to loving God and our neighbors. If we want to understand this gift of humility, we need only to look at the example of Jesus, for the greatest difference between him and the religious leaders who opposed him was humility. Jesus' humility is strong, human, and healthy. He is not portrayed in the scriptures as disparaging himself or pretending to be other than he is. But at his very heart lies humility. He knows, in the words of Buddhist monk Thich Nhat Hanh, his own true self. He knows his place in the larger scheme of things in God's world. He knows that both he and his adversaries belong to God. And in his humility, he freely offers himself to the one he lovingly calls Abba, Papa. And so Jesus says to his disciples and to us, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls." We learn from Jesus that humility is not pretense or self-abnegation, but love and trust in God and love and respect for our neighbor. We learn, too, that humility is openness to serve God in whatever ways God calls us. We take the yoke of Jesus and put it on our shoulders. Whatever our gifts, we offer them to God for God's service. In our service to God, as we do the work he has given us to do, we don't try to humble ourselves. We don't work at being humble. But we find that as we love and trust God and follow in God's way, God graces us with the gift of humility. We may not even notice it happening, but we find that our hearts, like the heart of Jesus, become humble and gentle. We become humble at the core of our being, and our humility makes us stronger, more gentle, and more loving. Out of our humility, we care for those in need and the needs of the earth. We are compassionate with those who are suffering. We demand justice for those who have been wronged. We show mercy to those who are in our debt. And as we serve God with gentle and humble hearts, we find our souls refreshed. We find ourselves becoming the people God has called us to be. We find ourselves resting in God. Amen.